Even though there may still be some brethren in the back or upstairs who are still finishing their meal, Brother Frank has said we should go ahead with it. So we will. There are a number of things, brethren. The lights will soon go very, very dim, almost right out. In fact, they will go right out. And we have provided for your singing the hymns, we have provided a flashlight or two on your table. Hold up your flashlights. I'd like to see who's got theirs. Okay. Just before we start as well, it's a little of a different nature today, this evening. The title of this, brethren, is Comfort and Consolation. It really doesn't need too much of a title, but we did think we would try to find those examples of our Lord and of the things that happened to our Lord, which would really, at this time of the year, draw us closer to Him and would give us comfort and would also console us. Those things which would console us or give us a reason to keep on going, reason for keeping on. And we hope that it accomplishes that purpose. One caution about it, the projection machine that we have projects only a certain amount of light. And if you have your flashlights in your hand, try to provide the light for at least two or three people around you as well to shine on your hymn book, okay? We would appreciate that. The second thing about the flashlight is try not to shine it towards the screen or it will white out the screen, if you know what I mean. Okay? All right. So, as one brother put it, try to have it in the hands of someone who is over 8 years of age. All right. Brethren, the lights will be going out very shortly, so if you have to make any arrangements before that, please do so now. Okay? All right. Can we have the lights? And brethren, could you try your flashlights out now? The lights are going to go slowly dim. And our first hymn is hymn number 79. And please watch the screen because we have some pictures that we'd like to accompany these hymns. English 79, Polish, if there's anyone, number 274 Polish.
Thank you.
Next selection is in the English hymn book is 132. Polish is number 292. Polish 292. Ukrainian 78. If anyone's still using the Ukrainian hymn book, 132. Next hymn is number 243. Number 243. Well, this looks like a room full of candles, people holding candles. It's really quite unique. 243 in English, Polish number 84. Polish 84.
Savior, thou hast been. trusting every moment, saved from sin by power divine. How I love thou didst impart it, how I like the light is thine. Glory, glory, Jesus saves me. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, the cleansing blood has reached me. Glory, glory.
Number 96, brethren. Number 96. Polish, number 271. And Ukrainian, 59. English, 96. As we watch through this, brethren, another hymn would be just a little bit too long at this time. as we watch the last few frames, as we want to look at it, we call attention, of course, to the institution of the memorial. Six of the apostles on one side, the disciples of Jesus, and six on the other. And then gradually we zero in. The next frame should be, the next scene should be one of our Lord. And we wish, of course, this to be a closer communion with our Lord this evening. And we wish it also to center on Jesus, to center on Him, to look forward to that. Further to this, brethren, if you can see my face and hear my voice, we want to link this, what we see here, to try to say, well, if the Lord at this particular moment instituted the memorial of His death, the remembrancer of His death, then what we need to do right now is to have that scene so long ago reach forward in our lives to us now and try to make this link and establish this link and keep that link very strong with that original observation and institution of the memorial. And this evening also we want to ask some questions about ourselves. And in just a few moments, Brother Jerry will be putting a series of things on the screen, and we'll be hearing that. But some of the questions beforehand is, brethren, from today's messages to us and from our studies of the Passover, and which will continue on for the days to come, we ask, are we benefiting greatly from the Lord, from the truth and the brethren? Are we truly feeding on the Lord? Are we contributing our fellowship in as deep a commitment as we should? We ask, who are our brethren? How deep is our commitment to those brethren as well? For the next few moments, may these questions find deeper answers as we view these scenes of our Lord's day.
And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Yeah. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it unto the bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it.
Dear brethren, we forgot to offer prayer in some of the, and so we'll ask Brother Mark if he would offer a word of prayer and then go into his reading.
Dear Almighty God, our beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We come before thee to give praise unto thee, Lord, and to thank you for the blessings that thou hast given us for giving us present truth. We thank you for the privilege we have of coming before thee to give glory and honor unto thy name. We pray that thy spirit would be upon it, that we would come to grow thee, grow more to love thee after the spirit, and know thy sacrifice and what you have done for us. We commit the remainder of this meeting to thy care and keeping, asking thy Holy Spirit to be upon us, for we ask and we thank thee. And through the merit of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At one point in his journey through Galilee, our Lord happened near some people who were near where John was baptizing, at which point he simply asked them, What seek ye? And this seems to be the question which the Lord puts to all those who approach him, an essay to become his followers. What seek ye? Are ye seeking loaves and fishes of earthly advantage? Are ye seeking earthly honor and social and political influence and preferment? The answer sooner or later will be manifest by the conduct of the seekers, though evidently all do not realize at the time what are their real motives in seeking the Lord. It were better, however, that each should remember our Lord's own expression on this subject and sit down and count the cost at the very beginning. To be disciples of Christ implies not only a fellowship with Him in the glory that is soon to be revealed, but also a fellowship with Him in the sufferings of this present time, a filling up of that which is behind the afflictions of Christ. Rabbi, Master, where are you stopping? Their question implied in a pleasant way a desire to become more intimately acquainted with Jesus, and He accepted it in this manner and invited them to His stopping place. As it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they remained with him the remainder of the day, and we may well imagine what the evangelist has not recorded respecting the pleasure and profit which came to them during these hours of fellowship. As a result, they were convinced of Jesus' messiahship, their own fellowship with him, tending to corroborate John's testimony. And thus it is with all who have a true heart seeking to know of God's appointed way. Not only are they kindly received by the Lord, but the very opportunities for knowledge, fellowship, and communion which they desire are granted to them. But sometimes our dealing with the world and with the brethren are not always smooth.
That he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in shepherds. Saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him.
Love thinketh no evil. In the stormy ways of the personal matters, possible ecclesia difficulties, and job situations, we should remember that this too is a test of our faith and of our overall spirit. There is a great truth in the sayings. A heart impregnated with doubt and suspicion toward fellow creatures is more than half prepared to doubt God. The spirit of sourness and bitterness is at war with the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of love, the wrong spirit must be gotten rid of, or it will defile the new creature. If evil surmisings are overcome, half the battle against present difficulties and besetments is won. And when, despite this, we still encounter that what seems to be the impossible situation, comments such as this one found in the February 8th manna reprint article give us some basic reminders about how to draw closer to the Lord. For inquiry why it is that the number... Let us therefore inquire why it is that the number who thus enter into the result of faith is so small. What are the hindrances to the others? And how can those hindrances be removed, that a larger number of the Lord's people may enjoy their inheritance? The hindrances are of two kinds. One, many who are on the Lord's side and who have been greatly blessed by him, and who have made considerable progress in the knowledge of the truth, and who are trusting in the merit of our Lord Jesus' sacrifice as the only hope of a future life, and who are thus justified, have nevertheless failed to take the second step necessary to their full induction into sonship in God's family, and into joint heirship with Christ, to all the exceeding great and precious promises which extend only to those who become his sons. This step, essential to becoming sons and joint heirs, is the purpose of full consecration, the full surrender of our all, our wills, including all the aims and objects and purposes of life, and including also all that we have in the way of time, influence, means, reputation, etc. Secondly, amongst those who are real Christians and who have made a full covenant of sacrifice unto the Lord, we find many who say, and more who think it without saying, Oh, that I could feel sure that God's goodness and mercy would continue with me all the days of my life, and that I should attain unto his kingdom. Oh, that I might have a full assurance of faith, a full assurance that I am accepted of the Lord, and that by his grace I shall ultimately be an overcomer. What is the difficulty with this class? Why, it is that these do not possess this full assurance of faith. We answer that their difficulty is a lack of faith in God, and such a lack of faith is not pleasing to God, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Such lack of faith, moreover, is a constant hindrance to their overcoming, and it is written, This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Christian who has not the shield of faith, and a large one, is continually at the disadvantage before the adversary. What must be done to overcome this lack of faith, and to have an increase of faith? We answer that, like the apostles of old, he should pray, Lord, increase our faith.
And then, acting in harmony with this prayer, each should cultivate faith in their own heart by refreshing his memory continually with the divine promises, becoming very familiar with these in the Father's Word. He should seek more and more to remember that having made this covenant with the Lord, these promises are his, and in his heart and with his lips he should claim them as his before the Lord, in prayer with thanksgiving. He should claim them as his own thoughts, and in his conferences on holy things with the brethren.
Do we have any happenings among Jesus' experience to show us what simple, pure faith can accomplish? Let's watch for a minute or so and relive an event as Jesus walked through a crowd.
Well, thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "He touched me." When all denied, Peter and all they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace."
This is an astounding example of one individual of many who were in the crowd drawing near to the Lord. This woman we just saw claimed the healing promise Jesus could perform. What is it that has this healing effect upon us? We rarely, if ever, experience actual miracles today. As dry as it sounds, knowledge of the Heavenly Father, His character and plans are what have an healing effect upon us. Furthermore, healing has to do with proper nutrition, and we must see to it that we feed daily on the body and the blood of Christ. If we are steadily expanding our knowledge of every detail of the harvest message, we will experience a spiritual healing and a begettal and growth which far surpasses a literal healing of this dying body. We will become the healers and uplifters of millions in the future.
Brethren, we have the lights just slightly up a bit. While we do so, we're going to sing hymn number 128. Number 128. Polish 98, Ukrainian 74, if they're still following.
Stars as they wander,
brethren, let's run quickly through. We'll be watching another sequence in just a moment. Let's run through the events after the Lord instituted the memorial and follow them right up briefly in just little segments to the annunciation of his resurrection.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither stay nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And he took the cup and gave thanks.
Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen.
And said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Kneeled down and prayed into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left.
Avi, be'adcha afkid et nafshi.
And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation and the Sabbath grew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves,
Brethren. Now will be favored if the Saskatchewan brethren, the brethren who were in the Saskatchewan singing group, who will be singing Love Crucified Arose, would they take their places now? Just to the back of the screen, please. As we can still see on the screen, brethren, this was probably in Peter's life one of the most touching moments of his entire life, because not too long before, we know of course that he had denied the Master three times. And now of course comes his joy, which is part of what we would like to bring to you tonight. See if we can capture in each of our own hearts the feeling of joy that Peter might have felt, as he probably said in his heart, that love crucified arose. Be favored with the selection now. you very much. And now, over the next few minutes, just a few minutes at all, is all, brethren, we'll watch and listen again for what some consider, some who have read the Bible, consider to be the most touching and perhaps the most comforting messages both we and the apostles could have ever received. We're considering, of course, the road to Emmaus experience, and also we'll see a portion of the film on Jesus' appearance in the upper room. Brother Jerry.
We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And break and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at your witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And he lived.
Once again, brethren, we're going to hear our choral group, who will favor us with a selection which we think perfectly expresses our desire to draw closer to the Lord, in joys as well as in our sorrow. And it's entitled, If Thee Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide. Could the group now move forward and get the light on now? Sharon, could you play? Thank you very much, Sister Sharon. Okay. Brethren, we hope that what we have tried to accomplish there is to make that link between the final view that the disciples and those who are watching when our Lord ascended had of Him. We hope also that we would have clearly in our hearts and minds as though we were an extension of that, and that we would be amongst those who would be counted in as watchers. We'd like the lights up now if we can, and would everyone please join in and sing with us hymn number ZZZ, Polish 330, if anyone has it. ZZ. Sorry, yes, for the American brother, that's ZZ.